Again, welcome, dear brethren, to this first of our in-person services. Today I'm going to go over the main thing, the main reason why we're here in Elohim, why it's necessary for us to do these things. Some of you might have heard me say a few times that sometimes I feel discouraged. But as I'm looking at my first line here is, we are not alone. There is the Elohim, the power over all, the creator and savior of all. So we're not alone. All around us, what do we see? We see anger. We see danger. We see fear, hate, wars, which seem to smother any good in the world. In neighborhoods, homes, families, and unfortunately, sometimes even in ourselves, if we're not careful. So no human authority, with all this that's going on, no human authority seems to know when or if it will ever stop. Right? Do they really know? No. We know because we've read the book and we know the end of the story. But a lot of people don't know this. So the self-seeking world leaders want to stay in charge despite their harmful mismanagement of the earth and people. We see this. Why is there hunger? There's food going to waste abundantly. Lands being everything, just mismanagement. So by forceful tyranny or propagation of licentious entertainment and lifestyle, they strive to stay in control. They do two things. They're either very licentious or they're entertaining, give you what you want, or they're very oppressive, controlling. That's how the governments are in the world. But either way, they stay in control. They either want your votes or they'll tell you off with your head if you don't do what I say, right? Forceful tyranny or licentious living. At the same time, the mass populace follow their lead for fear of punishment or to get the right to unrestrained pleasure, out of control, illicit acts, and violence. Unfortunately, the few people, right, like us, by his mercy, not that we're better, but by his grace, the few people who do see there is a problem and want to be a positive change are silenced by the pleasure-seeking populace and by their corrupt governments. As a result, the governments of the world are gaining more power and an open door to take full control to rule as they see fit. Again, through tyranny or through licentious living, whichever or whatever's in between. So mankind has been in charge for thousands of years, as we can see in our own eyes, right? Yet only to create poisons and weapons of mass destruction and philosophies that leads to death and total annihilation. I've yet to see one thing that mankind in all these years has produced that's not flawed in some way, even the best thing. For our survival and that of our loved ones, this state of affairs needs to be changed before it's too late. Too late? There are generations after generations. But each generation, it can be too late for that generation. It could be too late for that family, for that individual, for that society. So something needs to be done before it's too late. Yet, obviously, no human being or human concept or design have been established to do that. Not our education systems, not our governmental systems, not our religious systems. Nothing. By the voice of the self-seeking populace and power of government, no one is permitted to do so. You're either silenced against by fear, or by peer pressure of those, why don't you do this? Why are you different? Why don't you follow us and do what we do? Or as they say now to the little kids, as I watch this, just see and follow along. See and follow along. That's one of the things they're teaching the young kids. Just see and follow along. And so the innocent and oppressed are unwillingly caught in a cycle of death and destruction. Do you see that we need help? That we need to be saved from all of this? So, despite all this evil, we will perceive, we can perceive that the world and the universe itself have an incredible beginning and purpose if we take time to consider the earth with its variety of natural resources, such as delicious and nutritious foods and pure life-sustaining water, and the incredible, innumerable abundance of life it contains. So despite all the evils around us, if we take the time, as they say, to smell the rose, if we take the time to do this, we can see that there is a purpose. So evidently, the earth exists for life, not for death. I say evidently, because if you read certain things, you know that even as right now, each of us have little living organisms living on us. The walls, the air we breathe, it's unbelievably filled with life. And so if the earth is filled with so much life, it tells us that whatever you may believe, even if you don't quite know Elohim yet, but whatever purpose that this to be here is of life, not of death. Because life is so permeates our earth. We can't escape it. Right now, who knows how many little things I've just killed or just are now dancing on my fingertip because I just rubbed the table, right? So it's teeming with life. The evidence is clear. So life is not about death, but it's about life. We can see it. No matter what you person, where you could see, that's what it's about. So consider the comfortable and even the pleasurable ways our bodies function when healthy. Consider how and why we are by far more intelligent than all creatures on this planet. Not just a little bit, incredibly more intelligent. We can capture and control just about every creature on this planet and have incredible potential far beyond these creatures. With sincere observation, contemplation, and meditation, that means thinking it through carefully, honestly, on who and what we are, along with the geographical and astronomical realities around us, we can know for certain the earth and the universe must come from a greater first reality. Like I mentioned last Sabbath, Elohim says, I am the first and I am the last. And the Hebrew word for first is Rishon, right? And the Hebrew word for last was Aaron. And the word, we understand the first, but what's translated as the last, it really means evermore, everlasting, unending, eternal, the first and the last. We can tell because none of this can exist by itself. We need to fool ourselves and lie to ourselves or damage ourselves to think otherwise, sincerely. So as we carefully consider, we see highly organized order and purpose on earth, and especially in what's termed outer space. Thus, this great first reality, who says, thou worm Jacob, I am the first, I am the last, must have created all for a great purpose and must be carrying it out despite all the problems we see and experience. So despite all these negatives that I've said before, there's good news. The good news of Elohim is what we're going to consider. That's why you and I, we're born. That's why you and I, we have the knowledge that we have. It's not in vain. So yes, this world and the universe and beyond was created by an eternal being. Wonderfully, we are not alone. There is the Alpha, whom many today call God. That's what many call them. God, Dios, Dir. Right? The Bible, but in the scriptures, the Bible tells us this living power, which is what the Elohim is, the Elohim or power over all that is working out a great plan and future for the world, for you. He is the living power. So when you see that word Elohim, it does not translate to the ideologies of God the way the nations think. It really means the eternal power, the eternal living power. That's why it says Elohim Kaim. He's the living power. He's the living power, living authority in every sense of the word. He doesn't live the way we live. He's not sustained. He is the source of power. He creates power. He does not learn. He develops knowledge. He gives things to learn. He knows the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. And things that are not, he causes to be. This is the great being we are in, we are of, we're dealing with. We're minute, but he's reaching out to us. So he has a great plan and future for the world, for you, for us, you, us. In the faith, it means the same thing. You, us, means the same thing. Why? Because through Messiah, we are Echad, we are one. So this Elohim, this living power, is carrying out the purpose of life, as we said. It's evident. And he's the first, he's the Alpha, he's the Rishon. So what he's doing, he's carrying out life that will overcome and destroy all the causes of death to bring abundant, endless life. It is not hard to understand then that those who see the evil destruction and prefer life must connect or be in sync with the first, with the Rishon, the Alpha, who has established life to live properly. He established life. So we need to be in sync with the source and origin of life. So in the following, I will summarize some foundational information about the Alpha, his incredibly wonderful purpose for creating humanity, the ongoing evil plan of a wicked, powerful adversary to ruin this purpose, how Elohim's salvation will destroy this evil plan, Elohim's call to you to be saved for everlasting life in his heavenly government, the kingdom or government of Elohim, the new heaven and earth to come, and what you, that is us, what we need to do to make sure we are under the government of Elohim and become citizens or continue our citizenship of the everlasting new heavens and earth of the future. So in brief, there are lots of problems around us, lots of evils, and there's nothing that mankind or any other source is doing to fix the problem, nor can they. But Elohim, the first, who exists from eternity, he's in control. And we just need to plug in. Not plug in a congregation, but plug in him. And as we plug in him, and we connect in him, he unites his people. So although we can know that Elohim exists by just taking time to consider and make sense of the natural world around us, we can't know the specifics of its purpose unless Elohim provides us with that information. Hence the scriptures. Hence revelation. Hence the blessings of his spirit. Fortunately, the Alpha has provided this information through a collection of messages transmitted to men and women through the millennia of mankind's existence to this very day. To men, today, many call it the Bible. Some may say that many have used the Bible for evil, and that is true. But of course, we can take a stone and build a house with it, or we can take a stone and do harm with it. So it's not the stone, it's the heart of the individual. Yet just so, so the Bible is not the problem, but evil or misguided people who misuse and misrepresent and distort its message and purpose. If you get one thing today, please make and take the time to do it. Read and understand the Bible for yourself. You will see that it presents the truth about the Elohim, the world, and humanity, and the reason for it all in a way that will fill your innermost being with which no other writing or religion can do. As you do this and understand the message, you will know that the Bible is the message from Elohim to us for the way of life and not death. Here is a summary of some important biblical facts for you to consider and prove so you could overcome for life. Because day in and day out, those of us that are being called, we're challenged and we need to stay in the walk. I'm not going to turn there, but you know in the parable of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13, where the Savior speaks about different situations or different human experiences that can cause one to fail from entering the kingdom. Whether, you know, the parable of the sower and the seed, where some seed falls in the thorns or has little root. So we need to keep ourselves fueled through the scripture. So one thing we need to consider is that our Elohim, we know is not stone. We know is that we know he's the living. But we have to remember he's eternal. He's not limited to our universe. Just a reminder, you know, we got to keep this in our mind. He's not restrained in this universe, in space at all. Space is nothing to him. All the universe, as vast as it seems to us, is as nothing to him. Because the universe, though it may be billions and billions, trillions, whatever it is, Elohim is infinite, even in magnitude, not just in terms of years. In magnitude, in immensity, he is infinite. That's something for us to keep in mind. He's also all-knowing. He's all powerful, and he is spirit. He is Ruach. He is spirit. He is infinite, excellent glory and majesty. You ever seen majestic things, beautiful things? All these type of attributes come from Elohim. They're like little tiny hints of what happens if you get a glimpse of Elohim. You ever had a fragrant smell? Whatever you ever, Elohim. All these things are little hints of what he is like. You ever saw a humble person? There's no one more humble than Elohim. It's humble. It's gentle, humble. And he is love, agape. He is selfless. He needs nothing. He needs nothing. He created us to be his family. To be his family, not to be those who come and grovel, oh, great one, no. He doesn't need that. But just like Adam experienced in the cool of the day, the Ruach of Elohim walked with Adam. That's the relationship he wants. That's why our Yeshua said, when you pray, our Father, Avinu, Shabashamayim, our Father in heaven. That's how he says, right? Did I say that right? Did I say that right? I'm not a great Hebrew speaker. But our Father in heaven, he wants us to understand that. Sometimes we get confused when we think of him as being a king. He is a king. And he only asserts that when people are arrogant and forgets, right? But he doesn't want us to have a, he doesn't want us to think of him in that way. Yeshua told us how he wants us to think. Remember what he said? He said, he says, you are, you, I am, I call you my friends. He washed their feet. That's what, that's the type of relationship he wants. But we get confused when we see the kings and rulers of this world. We get confused because even the nicest ones are proud. And if you speak contrary to them, they either want to remind you with their thumb where you belong. Not Elohim. Elohim is just and kind, very merciful. But for our own good, he will remind you, I am a king. I am Elohim. He will remind us for our own good. So it tells, so it what? Oh, does, let me not forget. Above, and with all these six things I've mentioned, he's eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful. He is spirit. He is infinite, excellent glory. He is love. He is Kadosh. He is holy. Set apart, there's nothing like him. Nothing like him. So it, meaning the scriptures, tells us that Elohim created the universe and mankind for a marvelous purpose. So in the beginning it says Elohim created the universe and the earth and all that is good. He said it was good and it was good and it was good and it was good. And then he says it's very good. Right? So all he created was good. He had created and organized, the light, plant life, aquatic life, land animals. After all was in good order, he created mankind, male and female, as co-ruler over the earth. That was Adam's, that was their job. That's still our job. He commissioned mankind to use their vast mental capacity to cultivate. See, when we read the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, it seemed like a simple story. It wasn't that simple. That there was a garden. It wasn't some sort of jungle with wild things. It was a cultivated garden. And Adam and Eve's job was to maintain it. That garden had everything it needed to blossom beyond what it was. Elohim created it perfectly, right? But it was his, Adam and Eve's job to keep it and bring out the best of it in it. Just like us, we start as a little cell, all of us, but in time we grow. And as if we're in the right environment, we grow and prosper in many ways. Our minds, we have this little core knowledge, but then as we develop, we grow in knowledge. So he was supposed to do with the garden. And as they do this, they too would develop that great capacity that they had. That was Elohim's plan. So as they would do this, they would develop their mental and spiritual abilities and would become advanced and virtuous beings who to fully understand nature and its forces, to develop highly advanced sciences, like Peter says, not so-called science, true science, that work with nature rather than exploit it. We would have learned how to use these things where it's almost a symbiotic relationship. You could see it. How do you know? We give out carbon dioxide, we get oxygen from the plants. That's how we're supposed to relate in everything. We just unfortunately didn't get to learn how to do that with everything else around us. We could have learned how to relate with the sun better. How do we do that? How do we relate with the animals? It was Adam's job to take care of the animals, to bring about the best in them. Do you notice how a dog can be so wild, but mankind has the ability to make that dog Wonderful. We have the ability to do that with all animals if you have the right heart. The scripture shows us that in the book of Mark, that when Yeshua went to fast, Mark is a little book, but Mark gives us hints that you don't see another book. He was with the wild beast, it says. Yeshua was with the wild beast. In Israel, there are lions back then. You know, now there are none, but there are all sorts of wild beasts. He was with them. He was at peace with them. You understand? And Paul tells us a little bit. He was thrown in the arenas. Somehow he lived to talk about it, right? He wasn't a gladiator. He was a former rabbi. So I don't think he had big muscles, but he had a big, holy Ruach HaKodesh inside of him. So these are the wonderful things that Elohim had extended for mankind to be. So mankind was to learn how to both nurture and harness the vast forces of nature. Notice, nurture and harness it, not exploit it. They would especially have a good growing relationship with Elohim, their creator, and the host of the universe, the angels. How did Gabriel come down and, "Hail Miriam, you are highly favored"? Or come to Daniel. Would have had those relationships. All was lost. Really, Eden lost. I think there's a book called Eden Lost. But really, it is. But they would especially have that growing relationship with Elohim, their creator, and the host of the universe. So this was mankind's role on this earth. I have to fast forward, as I spent a lot of time, and I want to end by 1:30, is this. Our Savior, our sins have separated us from our Elohim. There's so much here, I can't go through all of this. Separated us. Separated mankind, and now it's so horrible what we see. Every generation of this world seems to have a point where there's a little bit of righteousness, you know, and then all of a sudden it dies out. And there's very few righteous. So the ultimate purpose of mankind, I'm sorry. So the scripture tells us, let me just make sure I cover the point that I want to say. So the Bible, I'm going to state six things, but I'll be brief so I could end. So we know that Elohim is the creator. We know he created man to, when I say man, humankind, to be his people. To have righteous ruler control over this earth. It says that in the beginning, and that's in 1 John, Yochanan 1, verses 1 through 5, says, in the beginning was the word, the logos, the devar, or the expression of Elohim, and the word was with Elohim, and the word was Elohim, or El. He was in the beginning with Elohim, in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's John 1, verses 1 through 5. 4 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, that, and we beheld his glory, his kavod. And as the uniquely born begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of endowments, full of abilities, full of gifts. That's what that is. It doesn't just mean full of kindness. No, it includes that. When the scripture speaks of grace, it's speaking about the endowment of the Spirit for us. But for him, it's not endowed. It's in him. He is spirit born, right? So he's full of grace and truth. There's no darkness in him at all. And 5th, and we know he is Yeshua, the salvation, or Yahushua, right? For there is only one Elohim and one mediator between Elohim and mankind, the man Messiah, Yahushua. That's 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. And and concerning him, it's written, behold, what manner of love the Father, Elohim, has bestowed on us, has graced us with, that we should be called children of Elohim. He has extended that through us through Yeshua. Those of you, as we're attending, we know that the ultimate purpose of mankind is to one day become children of Elohim. Behold, what manner of love. Despite our sins, he's going to fulfill that original plan if we join in with him, not with a group. Join in with him. Make sure you're with him. And his spirit will tell you where you ought to be. So, yes, the Bible teaches that prior to creating mankind, Elohim created spirit beings known as Malachim. We call them commonly angels. Also known as Bnei Elohim, or sons of the power, sons of Elohim, children of Elohim. These beings far exceed us in intelligence and power, and they were designed to live and thrive in outer space, or what we call space, or the heavens and beyond. Furthermore, rather than grow old and weak as we do because of our sins, these beings actually, if they are in unity with Elohim, these beings actually become more and more powerful and intelligent in time, and they don't die. They don't deteriorate like us. So Yeshua stated, righteous people will eventually be transformed to be like the Malachim, like the angels, Bnei Elohim, sons of Elohim, children of Elohim. He will regenerate mankind to live forever, to experience and achieve wonderful things, to achieve wonderful things beyond our imagination. I have not seen, ear has not heard what Elohim has prepared for those who love him, right? The Bible gives us an example. I'm sorry, the scriptures gives us an idea by describing his government and what his regenerated or born again, born from above, mankind will be like. Here are two of his statements as recorded in the Bible, in this New Covenant scriptures. Here it says in Matiyahu, or Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, answering a question, the Messiah said, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the Malachim of Elohim in heaven. Are like the angels. He also says in Luke 20, verse 36, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the Malachim and are Bnei, sons of Elohim, being sons of the resurrection. That's Luke 20, verse 36. You know, I've heard people say, oh, we're going to be greater than the angels. But I rather stick to what Messiah says. He says we're going to be like the angels. He says we're going to be equal to the angels. When we understand what the angels are like, and we understand that what you saw, what Yeshua manifested on earth, is just what that is. Yeshua is far greater than an angel. No one can ever become equal to the Messiah. It's just impossible. We'll become like him. People confuse that to mean we're no. He tells us, and you can see it in the book of Revelations, when John sees him, his garment, he has a long robe and a golden girdle about him. And how were the angels dressed? Exact same way. Because the form he took is the form that he created the angels. That's why they are all Bnei Elohim. They are all sons of Elohim. And we are going to be like that. But we don't stay, because the scriptures tell us they grow in knowledge, they grow in power. The psalm tells us about the angels. So we're not going to be stagnant. We go downhill, you and I. You know, from the time we're born, we're good, and we start going downhill, you know? Not in the resurrection. In the resurrection, we grow from glory to glory. Because our Elohim is not restricted to the universe. We'll fill the universe as children of Elohim and beyond and beyond. So we need to stay firm in the faith. There's so much, but I want to end. So why are we here? We want to be plugged in. We want to proclaim this gospel. Yes, there's sin in the world. Yes, there's destruction. Yes, there's the ways of death. But there's the way of life. And that is to be plugged, be united with our Elohim. Foremost, as the principal thing, be connected with Elohim. Foremost. Let him unite us. And we do that through his Son. For there's no name given under heaven by which man can be saved than the man Yeshua. Right? So that's the purpose. That's why we're here. That's why you made the sacrifice to be on the line or to travel from afar wherever you came to be here. So we have work to do. It's not just to come and fellowship. We need to come and fellowship. But we need to preach. We share that gospel in the New York area. It's you, it's me. Or wherever you are, those of us in Washington, you need to strengthen yourself with brethren of like mind to preach to wherever we are, in Washington, Iowa, wherever we might be, Long Island, Queens, Brooklyn, in Germany. We need to find brethren of like mind prayerfully. And we need to do that good work to make let people know there is an Elohim. That his Spirit will fill us so that they can know it's not just words. Right? I know I've spoken before and it's like, I'm saying all the right things, but it's not necessarily what that individual needs to hear. So we need to be praying. We need to make him our boss. He's our first. I know some of us are still working. I work. Some of us, you know, we're still working. But he's first. And one sister I won't name, I know she packs tracts, and wherever she goes, she distributes them, right? Some of us do these things. It's because she knows that that's her job. We have to have that mindset. I have a few. They're not the best. Brother Paul took the time. He helped me, gave me some things to add to them. I made some copies for those that are physical here. If you can, take some, read them over, and see if it strikes, if you would want to share this with others. I have a few copies. If make more copies, I could send you the file. There's no one's names on here. Only has Congregation of Elohim, Kahal Elohim, and Ecclesiasteo on there. Only his name, the name of his Son. And a phone number that a person can reach. And I could send this in a Word format to you so you could put your phone number on there if you want to be the direct contact. The world is dark. Satan is doing a lot of evil, and his minions and his angels, or whatever's under him. We are the light of this world. We are the salt of this world. And as little as we are, and as physically tired as we are sometimes, let's not forget it. Because not by might, nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Word. So as we cry out to Elohim for that strength to be the light, he will enable us. I don't know what else more to say, but be encouraged to do this work. Let's love each other and do it together. We're from difference, but look how Elohim has united us. Some people would not unite because of background, color of skin. These things don't exist in Elohim. They don't. And because his love has shined in our hearts so that we love him and we love everything that pertains to life in righteousness and justice. It's not the color of the skin. It's not our educational background. It's not where we're from. But do we love Elohim and do we love others? That's the thing. And our hearts gravitate to that. So we thank Elohim for the great work he has done in our life. We weren't always like this, possibly. Some of us by nature are, but I'm sure some of us, we weren't always like this. So it's the great work of Elohim. And as I was, again, speaking with Bob, brother Paul, as he was sharing some things with me, I could not help but admire the work of Elohim. Because he does that. He changes lives. I'm going to end with this. A little bit, as I was going to buy something at the Home Depot a couple of weeks ago. This young man, I went to ask him about, I forgot what it was. I think it was a pipe or something. And he says, I don't think we have this here, but let me check. He checked, couldn't find. And he was so helpful, so outgoing, so giving of himself. And as I was walking, I heard somebody call me. It was him. And he came, no, sir, come here. And, I had to stop and ask. After he helped me, I said, can I ask you something? Do you by chance believe in, are you in the scriptures? He smiled, says, yes. And I said, I know it. I said, I could sense it. I know, I can't say I know, but I said, I could sense it. It's the work of Elohim in the life. Because others, they just went up, okay, I'm done with you. But he couldn't help me enough. So I thank Elohim for that. And I see that same spirit in everyone in this room and on the phone. May Elohim help us in this great work. Amen.